Tonight is the Planning and Community Development Committee. My name is Dennis Martinez. I also have Councilmember Tosh Art and Councilmember Armand Papillon, along with staff. On tonight's agenda, Monday, December 9th, we are have one business agenda item, and that's the code amendment to remove requirements for phased binding site improvement plans that includes a development agreement. This will be presented by Neil Tabor, Senior Planner.
Great. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Council Members, for being here. Appreciate you being here for a single item and taking the time here. So I'll get kind of directly into it to leave time for questions. Happy to expand as needed or anything here. But the item we have here tonight is something that came up recently with staff that was identified that what is our current standards for binding site improvement plans, sometimes referred to as just binding site plans or BSPs, requires anyone that wants to go through a phase of development, so not making all improvements at one time, to also, in conjunction with that, execute a development agreement. So it currently doesn't have any flexibility for a project that, even if it might not really make sense for it to go through a development agreement to do so. So really what we're asking tonight is that we expand the flexibility there, as so say in cases where it doesn't really make sense that they have to go through that extra step of going through a development agreement with their project if it's going to be phased, we don't automatically require that within it. It still leaves the discretion, or if there's applicant from the developer or applicant or initiative or desire from the applicant or developer to include a development agreement, that makes things cleaner. If there's other parts to the project that might fill that out, we still leave that open with this code update. So we're asking that we'd be able to take this code amendment package to Planning Commission to work on the language, to get their feedback, likely include some other minor housekeeping items, look at legislative items if there's things that would make sense to bring as a package so you're not getting three small things. We're saving some time and building some efficiency in there. So that's the overall ask, and I'll go in just a little bit more on what is a binding site improvement plan. So those can be executed for a variety of projects. Generally, you're going to see them with commercial projects or office-based projects where you might have shared common features on a site. So whether you're sharing garbage facilities, utilities, access points, parking, could all be things that would be shared within that project. So often a lot of our standards are broken down on by parcel or tax parcel, piece of land, the requirements of meeting those. So that can combine things like perimeter landscaping now need to be on every single parcel, even though it might be shared as a common site. Or you have to be providing garbage collection or things to that. You have to be looking at kind of where your easements or access points are to that. Especially in a phase thing where you might be looking at this pad that's a future building pad is going to be used for the interim for parking until it's built out in the next phase of it. And that's a pretty common element as you may look at especially larger projects. More common with the greenfield development might have multiple phases to them if they're taking off 10 acres at a time or something like that. That's not the case here, obviously, with what our situation is. An existing development, but it grants further flexibility if you're going to say that even 3 years down the road, we plan to do an expansion or a different aspect of our project. So that's kind of what you typically see in a binding site plan. They can have residential components as well, not quite as common as your traditional commercial setup where you might, again, have phased development with that. But again, we're just trying to provide more flexibility for developers in cases where it seems like a development agreement on top of the binding site improvement plan is redundant, to say that you don't have to go and contract with the city, go through probably 3-4+ months of contracting, creating that, working with legal staff, putting it together, paying fees, going before council and explaining kind of the intricacies of your project that's already gone through probably other steps of that piece to get there. So a lot of information, kind of rambling, but open to any questions or things to expand on there.
Armand, do you have any questions right offhand?
I think you did a really good job explaining it. And especially the last example that you used, because I actually wanted to hear an example of what this might look like and what changes. And thanks for the explanation. I'm all for this. Yeah, whatever makes it development more easier. And I think this is sort of what we had a conversation about on the council a number of times about, right, especially like green space. Well, how can that be shared between two? Could this be shared also between two different developers? Or is this strictly just on for one developer who might own like different plots of several plots of land?
Yeah, good question. Oftentimes in a binding site improvement plan, you're going to anticipate selling off one portion or another. So in a let's just use a suburban model, if you have a pad that's a traditional commercial power center with a large anchor tenant and then several off pads of four future building sites around that, you may plan to sell off the strip mall component or the single site with a drive-through built in or something like that. So oftentimes it can be done or at least planned out in the future to have multiple ownership. Usually when it's executed initially, you only have the sole owner with it or a collaboration of owners with it, but usually the plan is for future sales, depending on that, or if it needs to be held in different structures and whatnot there.
So would this allow like two different developers to collaborate on something?
Potentially. I mean, I think there's other things like shared parking agreements that sometimes come into play for existing sites that mm-hmm. may show that one is a PM peak user, one is an AM peak user. So they may look at putting something on title and going through executing that. I think that's a little more common for sharing of features with existing development.
Is that something that can already be done, or would this allow that to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, there are some things in our code that says, like if you're going to share parking between two adjacent mm-hmm. ones, we can waive some of that, like landscaping right. between or consolidate driveways, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. So we do try and make it work.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much.
Josh, do you have any? Just so this is the city asks a developer to do something later. Is that what it is? This amount to you? There's an agreement, something you agree to with the city. And then the city comes back and says you need to add grass or add this or add that. Is that what this avoids having to go through the whole process of putting it into the system again to be reevaluated?
Yeah, great question. So really, if you have a phased BSIP or you plan to do this, the first action and then 5 years down the road, you're going to come back and do this part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It removes the complexity, or the development agreement basically would say that, okay, you presented it, staff has reviewed it, staff has said that this looks good, we agree with it, we have provisions to ensure phasing or otherwise. And then at that point, instead of, granting the administrative approval, we're then sending it up through council, through public hearing and through that entire process and through creating the contract that is the development agreement between the city and the contractor to do that on top of kind of the BSIP approval. So it's just another step we see in some cases as redundant to what's already occurring through the BSIP process. Does that answer your question?
Sounds like a lot of letters in there. for simplicity, I'm just going to see if I understand. I'm a developer. I want to build within the city of Tukwila. If I want to make a change or some kind, I have to go through the entire process of resubmitting everything and have the entire city of Tukwila staff review it. And then go through what you said, the planning commission and the council to explain this change. You're saying I no longer have to do that with this proposed amendment.
So for a new action, you'd have to go through the first part of staff review, of course.
What would be a garden variety change that you're saying?
By change, do you mean development or?
You're saying if I have to change something, what would be something I would have to go through the process where this is taking effect? Like what change would have to occur on the property or the ash?
Sure. Yeah. So if you had a site with a large parking lot and you wanted to break it up and you wanted to create space for several new tenants and you wanted to sell off those lots, but you wanted to do it multiple phases where you needed large utility runs or something, and you wanted to say, I'm going to do this pad first, then I'm going to, when I do structured parking with this aspect over here, that parking is going to be for a new pad. So that's phase two of my project. So you have a phase BSIP in that way that you have two different pads you plan to sell off at different times. They may be sharing a feature that either isn't built yet or will be built in the future.
Okay.
So because of that, it trips the need for a phase BSIP. So typically, if we were to do this code update, we'd say, okay, staff can administer that. You can put conditions and codes of the timing of the phasing or other things to it. Currently, if they were to bring that through, we would say, no, that also needs to go through development agreement. So after staff did their full administrative review and said, this looks good to go, I think you're meeting everything. Oh, also you need to go through a development agreement. So then they would have to take the project through the contracting process and eventually to a council vote in front of public hearing for that that had already been reviewed by staff to that point.
So it sounds like it makes it quicker for a developer to keep going without having to go through all the steps again, yes?
Yes. These scenarios aren't terribly common. We haven't seen a ton of BSIPs. We likely will as we have more infill development. But for that process, you're probably shaving at least 3-4 months off that in addition to staff and council time.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and they might be saving a lot of money too, right? Because if there is just piece of lot, they could just make it into a parking lot instead of building like a parking garage. And if they later want to build a park, I mean,
yeah,
hypothetical,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, hard to
specifics. Yeah.
So I'll just add my 2 cents, but I am in favor of this. And my thoughts are, it's like we're seeing over at the south end over in the SeaTac, you have a mall development going on there, and they're reimagining that mall development. I know there's visions of reimagining this mall development with residential housing and stuff. Down the road, this would be a prime example where the developer, let's just say Westdale, just hypothetically, were to say, okay, well, I'm going to sell off two portions of the old Sears and the parking garage, and we're going to make condominiums there and apartments on the other side. So you can have two different developers. And I think that I see that being a benefit here. So I'm in favor of this. I think it makes sense. You two know how much of a struggle it is, when you're trying to get things going. And then when you got to bring a developer back in, they're usually not happy because they said, well, why didn't we have, every developer always has a why didn't we versus I should anticipate. So I think this makes a lot of sense. And I don't have a problem recommending that this move forward to the Planning Commission. If you have any more questions, Armand?
No.
Or I can put them in Thomas.
Okay.
Well, I think we have a unanimous vote that we can go ahead and move this topic forward to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission for further review and code amendments and return to City Council at a later date.
Great. Thank you all.
Perfect.
All
right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. And that was it, right, Nick?
Yeah, that's any
Jaron mentioned.
Unless we have any miscellaneous.
Is there any miscellaneous, Nora, that you might have in your...
I wish everything was that easy, but that's my crystal switch.
Okay. Since there is no other items on the agenda or no miscellaneous, I call this meeting closed at 7 o'clock.
5:44.
5:44. Thank you very much.